want to start with a story about the first man and the first woman. So Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, and he was naming animals and living life, and God saw that was not cool for him to be alone. So he made for him a woman. And he told Adam, he's like, dude, I'm going to make for you a woman, and she's going to be absolutely awesome. She's going to cook for you, clean for you. She's going to do whatever you need. Like everything that you lack, she's going to be there for you. When you come home from work, like, she's like going to be on the porch waiting to give you a hug. It's going to be like super stellar. And Adam's like, oh, okay, that's cool. I don't know if it's entails, but like, okay, cool. What's it going to cost me? He said a right arm and your right leg. Okay. What do I get for just a rib? The thing is, I know I get booed because I'm like a dude. But like, if a girl said that, you'd be like, okay, that's cool. But okay, the thing is this. The point I want to drive home is this. Is that we go into marriage wanting everything and giving nothing and expecting that it's going to work. And that's not what the Bible says. There's guidelines that he gives us. And in those, if we follow those, we will live happily ever after. Everybody looks at other people's marriages, trying to find the best one so they could pull bits and pieces out of each one, figure out what the best would be for their life so that they could have the best marriage. Nobody wants to have a rotten marriage. 84% of you will get married. There will be more divorces in a Christian marriage than there are in an atheist marriage. That says something to me. And the fact that 84% of you will get married and up to 48% will get divorced, marriage is a very serious thing and a very awesome thing, or it can be. It can be a life of freedom or a life of bondage, depending on how you deal with it, depending on who you choose. We, as a culture, have a complete misunderstanding of what marriage is, and we take it very lightly. In this message, you guys are going to see, we're going to go through Ephesians, and you're going to see what your role is. First, I'm going to deal with the women. There's only 3 verses that deal with the women, and there's 9 that deal with dudes. Because dudes have a higher price to pay. Totally. And I say that ahead of time because they'd be like, you're a dude, so you're going to pick on us. And blah. No, I'm trying to be very fair. And God's fair. 3 for women, 9 for dudes. There's a reason behind that. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they ate of the fruit. God came into the garden. They were hiding. Like, oh, God. And God asked a rhetorical question. Hey, where are you? Adam. Didn't ask where Eve was at. He asked where Adam was at because he was responsible. Because he was the head. This isn't like a male chauvinism thing. It's like what God had set in place. So turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Men and women are different. In case you guys haven't realized that, I hope you have. If you haven't, then, like, I don't know what you should do. Get a life. Women want to be loved. Men want to be adored. Admired. Sorry, not adored. That's weird. Adore me. Men want to fix the problem. Women want to talk about the problem. Men desire to provide. Women have a desire to nurture. Men are simple. Women are not. They're complicated. Men go to the bathroom alone. Women? Yeah. You know the answer. Men use the right side of their brain, and girls use both sides at the same time. How that's done? No clue. If that happened to dudes, you'd be like, boom! We wouldn't act like you. We'd just go nuts. There's a lot of physical differences between a man and a woman. And there's a reason behind that as well. I don't know why, but there is. There's like more blood in dudes and less blood in girls. And there's like more cellulite in girls and less in dudes. Like all kinds of stuff. But anyways, who cares? There are differences, and you're going to see that God treats us differently. That treats men and women differently. Yes, we're both equal, but we are different. Okay, let's first read Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, and then we're going to break it down. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Everybody asks the question, if you're a girl, what do they want in a woman? And then women ask the same thing. I actually asked some women what they wanted in a guy, because it's kind of weird for me to be thinking about that. I did, and I here's my list, and they're like, that's pretty good. But also add that they have to be hygienically sound. I was like, I didn't think about that. Yeah, don't stink. That's pretty easy. Okay, first we're gonna start with what men want in a woman. They want a woman that loves God. Obviously, this is Christian men. Otherwise, they wouldn't like that at all. A woman that loves God, a wife that helps him to be a man, a wife that comforts him when everything else crumbles, a wife that supports him when he attempts the impossible, a wife to raise his kids, a wife that is beautiful on the inside and the out, a wife that is his helper in all the areas which he falls short. In case he's a dude, he falls short a lot. A woman that has self-control, a woman that is not a gossip. There are things that men want in a woman. And there are things that God wants in you, women. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You notice it says, submit to your own husbands, not to submit to someone else's husband. Because it's really difficult if you're a man to lead and your wife is taking orders from somebody else. If you want him to step up and be a man, let him be a man and listen to him as he speaks. This submitting isn't an order of hey, he's better than you, you need to submit to him. It's an order, it's an order where Eve submitted to Adam, not because he was any better than her. It has nothing to do with that. In this culture, there's a couple of dudes. There's some dudes that are I just let my wife do and say whatever she wants because I'm scared of her. There's those kind of dudes that dude, grow up. What's wrong with you? And there's other kind of guys and it's possible that some women they follow, but their following is a manipulating following where they'll say things in order to get what they want. And somehow he thinks that he's the one that thought of it, but he's so stupid, he has no idea. He's like, that's a good idea. She's like, yeah, it's a good idea. I thought of it. Men are supposed to be leaders. And in this day and age, the fact that there's 48% of marriages ending up in divorce, men are pretty rotten leaders, to be completely honest with you. Women, you're supposed to submit to your husband. Choose wisely, really wisely, because you have to submit to that guy for the rest of your life. If he's not worth submitting to, don't marry him. Run for your life. We live in a culture where men are expected to act like Homer Simpson, like idiots, unless you like him, but he's still an idiot. For men, it's easy to completely escape and to like and to enjoy hobbies and enjoy TV, expect their guy time, and never relish and love their wife. We should never do that. They should never have to compete with a TV. How stupid is that? My wife sometimes has to compete with my iPhone. Ain't funny. Stinks. And I know that. She's like, she says, "What did I say?" I have no idea what you just said. Why? Because I was checking like what new apps came out today. Yeah, I'm going through this study, looking at myself, going, I am a horrible husband in some areas. Hey, what do you want me to say? Forget it. There are areas. I mean, we should look at Scripture and say, hey, I really stink. We do. Anyways, okay, so submission. I'm not sure, nobody likes to submit. Nobody likes to take somebody else's words and go, I will follow that. Nobody likes that, but we are called to do that. Even if you're a dude, you're still called to submit to Christ. He is the ultimate authority. For a woman, your husband is your authority. Here's the deal. Submission does not mean, here's a kind of a list of knots and a list of what it does mean. Submission does not mean that your husband is the ultimate authority, because God is. Submission does not mean that you follow your husband all the way to jail. You call the police on him. Submission does not mean that you cannot think for yourself. Submission does not mean that you manipulate your husband's decisions. Submission does not mean that the wife is any less intelligent than her husband. Submission does not mean that you do whatever he says if it's against Jesus, because he is the ultimate authority. Submission does mean that you help your husband because he needs help. It's not good for a man to be alone. Dude, imagine a dude alone forever. What would happen? I don't know. Imagine Adam in the Garden of Eden alone forever. There would be no Garden of Eden anymore. It'd all be chopped up. It'd all be burning. And he'd be like, this is awesome. I don't know why it was he shouldn't be alone. But God knew it wasn't good. So, you need to be a help to your husband. Submission means that you and your husband become one. Just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Because your marriage should exemplify Christ and the church, that relationship. Submission isn't a bad thing whatsoever. My wife had twins 4 weeks ago, a little over 4 weeks ago. Before that, she was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And so this whole time, she's either been in the hospital or been at our house taking care of our kids, which is not an easy task whatsoever. Sometimes it's downright heinous. It's they're screaming this weird, if two people scream at the same time and it makes this weird harmonic imbalance, and it's what is that? They do that. And it's I know what it is, and it ain't good. It's crazy. Well, she's been at home for the past, basically in the hospital and at home for the past 6 weeks. And this weekend, she just pretty much lost it. And it was like she was a prisoner in our own house. And I was like, you just need to get out. Go to Target and go buy something. I don't know what, but just go leave the house. Do whatever you want. I'll take care of the kids. But please, for your own good, just go. I don't even care if you just drive around in circles. Even if you open the door, walk outside, and just shut and go, and stand there for 3 hours, that's cool. Just leave the house, because you need to. She kind of had a feeling she needed to stay home and take care of the kids. I wasn't able to do it. And I am, to a degree. I don't have as much patience as she does. They're she's oh my gosh, I need to give them a pacifier. I'm oh my gosh, I need to turn up the TV. oh my word, you guys are loud. I have this thing, when babies in their womb, supposedly they're the sound of white noise. I guess there's a vacuum in the belly that goes shh, and it's soothing to them. So I take it a step further. So they're in the crib at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're so I reach over the crib and go shh, shh, She's like, you're being mean. I'm like, no, I'm soothing them. Totally not. Totally kind of. Totally something. I don't know what. But anyways, it was like Sunday afternoon. She was talking to her friend on the phone. And her friend's like, you need to leave the house and just like go shopping. And she did it. And it was the best time she's probably had in like the past month and a half. Went to Target. Her friend called her from California who just had a kid. It was like spending time with an old friend. And she came home a different person. Because that's what was best for her, was that she just left and just like did something cool and fun. That's what I had wanted for her. Submitting to your husband is not a bad thing if he wants the best for you. Because he's able to see the big picture and go, hey, you know, like, you really shouldn't do such and such. Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. Doesn't have to be a bad thing. And it's not a bad thing, no matter, even if he's an unbeliever, you're still supposed to submit to him. Why? Why submit? Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, but also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This picture that is painted by a man and a woman coming together, complete polar opposite people coming together and being one, is a picture of Christ in the church. Don't paint an ugly picture. Choose wisely. Choose somebody that you can grow old, serve God with for the rest of your life. Why submit as to the Lord? Do we tell the Lord what to do? Try to, yeah. But we should not tell the Lord what to do. I mean, that's like a really bad idea. It's like, with this economy, like, people are having hard times as far as financially goes. And should we say to them, dude, like, I'm working all the time. I'm making no money. Like, I'm about to get fired. I don't even have enough money for groceries. Like, you need to get to work. I need some money here. What do you think you're doing? Like, what are you doing with your life, God? I mean, like, you're supposed to, like help your children, and I'm here sitting here, like, completely broke. Awesome. Like, if you watch some sitcoms, that is a relationship. That's not our relationship. That's not your relationship. It should be with your husband. It shouldn't be, hey, why don't you? If you try to tell your man what to do or try to change him, he will never change. He will do the opposite. It's like a super bad idea. Especially, like, it's really counterproductive, to put it mildly. Like, totally not cool. The best thing to do is to pray. Just as we do with the Lord. Lord, right now I'm having a really hard time. Right now I don't have enough money to buy groceries. I don't have enough money to feed my kids. And you say in your word that you will provide. And I pray, Lord, that you would do that. And you cry out to him. I'm not saying you cry out to your husband, oh, Joe, help me. No, like, but you need to pray for him. That would be weird. Like, if that's it, like, that's strange. Don't do that. But you need to pray for your husband. Right now, most of you guys aren't married at all. You need to pray for your husband right now. He needs it. Pray for your husband wherever he's at, that he would be prepared for you. And pray that he's doing the same thing for you. If you think that if you marry a jerk, like, there's a possibility, like, you'll have a way out, you don't have one. You're still supposed to submit to him. Check this out. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the inward person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You have no, I mean, like, really choose wisely. There's a lot of guys out there that are absolute scumbags. they shouldn't be married. And I don't want them to marry you. Choose wisely. Also, at the end of this, it says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. If right now you're waiting to be married, you're like, I wonder when that dude is going to come into my life. I don't want to keep saying dude. Let's just say guy. I don't know when that guy is going to come into my life and sweep me off my feet. The best thing you can be doing right now is having a gentle and a quiet spirit. He will see that. If you think that guys don't see little things, they do. They really do. There's numerous times that I've heard a guy say, like, why did you pick her? Why would you do that? Like, not like why would you do that, but why did you do that? And it's so often such small little things. Like, you know what? She was helping these three little kids that were like complete punks. And all she would do was be patient with them, be kind to them, be loving to them, as if they were her own children. Just simple things like that. If you don't have that, if you don't exemplify that in your life, pray that it would be a part of your life. And it's not just for women. I mean, really, God, everybody needs to do that. But really, guys see that a lot. They really do. Women, be careful who you marry. Like, I don't know why I keep saying that, but be careful. Pray and seek God. Prepare yourself for him. Right now, like, most of you guys aren't married, and some of the stuff's like, okay, that's cool, like, whatever. But pray that you would be ready for marriage. These things, people don't understand when they say, I do, what they're signing themselves up for. And it's a lot. The thing is, it's absolutely like fascinating and amazing because I grew up with a horrible family. I had no idea what the picture of marriage looked like. And I was constantly looking at other marriages, trying to figure out what a marriage was supposed to be, like what normal was. And of course, you never see two marriages exactly the same. But at the same time, we have no excuse as people. We can say, you know, well, this is the way my parents' marriage was like, so I'm going to be the same way. I was scared of that for the longest time. My dad was like a super workaholic, never talked to my mom unless it was rudely. All he did was like, hey, make my steak. Like, he was like a caveman. And he made money, and he provided for his family, and he thought that that's what providing for his family was, making money so they had food. And I was so afraid for the longest time that that's who I'd become. That I would have no interaction with my kids. I was afraid that when I had daughters that I would just not understand how to take care of them. Sorry. So we don't have an excuse because of who our parents were. Because we see a perfect picture of what a marriage is between Christ and his bride. And that is our example. And that's what we look at. And Christ didn't say, hey, bride, like, you're just not good enough for me. I'm sorry. But while we are yet sinners, he came and died for us. That's what he saw. Men. Okay, so, guys, like, this is going to be a lot worse, to be honest with you. Why? Because I'm a guy, so I can say whatever I want. And two, because you're a guy, and God expects more of you. What women want is this: a man that loves God, a man that works hard and will provide for her. More than just mowing lawns, I'm pretty sure it takes. A man that's responsible. If you live in your mom's basement and your only responsibility is like to pay for the Doritos, like, dude, like, don't be looking for a wife. Look for like an apartment. And maybe get a savings account. Like, that'd be probably a good start. You don't want your wife living in your mom's basement. That's weird, straight up. Like, that's just a strange thing. Think of everybody else, Raymond. Like, what if, like, they both live in the same house? All of them. The same time? Disaster. Promise you. She wants a man that listens to her, not to the TV. A man that's gentle with her, but that is bold spiritually. She wants a man that's romantic, a man that can protect his family. And if he can't protect his family, like, you need to get a gym membership. Honestly, like, you need to be able to protect your family. Don't take roids. I'm just saying, like, you need to be able to protect your family. A man that is confident in Christ. A one woman man who doesn't have a wandering eye and is looking at every other girl. Or flirting with chicks on MySpace, like, totally not cool. Uncalled for. A man that honors his wife, especially when she's not around. A man that loves and cherishes his wife. And a man that's hygienically sound. Dude, I got all those except for the last one, and I was like, okay, I'll put that in there. We live in a culture today where men are not expected to be men. It's just not what's expected of them. Men figure out ways to not talk to their wives, and they're not expected to. Men's quiet times sometimes consist of falling asleep on a lazy boy after watching college ball. That's not what a man's supposed to do. Some men think that it's cool for them to stay at home, be stay-at-home losers, while their wife goes out and works. That's unbiblical. Not cool. If you lost your job, like, I understand it's a bad economy. If you lost your job, do everything you can to find another one. I'm not saying like women can't work. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. It's not like, man works, woman stays at home. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, guys, you need to provide for your family. That's what you're supposed to do. Some men, their idea of taking care of their family is making money and providing for their family. That's a way of providing for your family, but not the entire way. It's also loving your family. It's also loving your kids. It's also loving your wife. It's listening to them and seeing what their needs are. Yeah, right now you guys aren't married. But even with your girlfriends, listen to her. I'm not saying like, cool, awesome, let's go watch a movie. That's not listening to your wife. I'm sorry. That's like totally not. That's like, dude, that's not listening to your wife. That's totally not. I don't even know what that is, but you're a jerk if you do that. It's deceiving. No, really, like I do that sometimes, and I hate it. And the problem is I don't recognize it until my wife's like, hey, what did I say? Or I just told you that. And I'm going through this study, and I'm like, dude, I'm asking you guys to do something I'm not doing. I am a jerk. We need to step up to the plate as men. We need to treat them better than ourselves. We need to look at them and say, what needs do you have? What can I do to make your life better? What can I do to make you happy? What needs do you have that I don't even see, that I'll never see because I'm a dude? Like, what do you desire? How do you want me to change? What do you want? With a heart that's asking, what do you want? So what to do? Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So on the women's side, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. On the husband's side, it says, husbands, love your wives. I don't think these are like just thrown in there like, what should husbands do? I think they'll love. I think it's because it's hard for us to love, to truly love. And why does he put wives submit? Because I think it's probably hard for wives to submit. So these aren't just like commands for us to do. But there are things for us to look at and say, I want to be more like that. What did Christ do? So we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Why did Christ come down and die? He came down to die for our benefit. Because he wanted to. And right now, Easter's coming up. When we look at the time when Christ came down, died for us, and we as men aren't willing to turn off the TV for our wife. We as men aren't willing to stop what we're doing and listen to her. We aren't willing to say, hey, we're going to Wendy's. And she's like, well, can we go to Olive Garden? Like I really want to just like have like some breadsticks. Like, I'm not asking much, but no, we're going to Wendy's. Like, it sounds funny, but like, when you're married, like, everything matters. And when you're a guy, like, what you need to do, give her what she wants. Like, if you can afford it, like, hey, I'm not saying, like, go to Olive Garden every day. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Like, you're fat if you do that. But, like, you will. But I'm saying, like, listen to her. And see what her needs are, what her desires are. Christ came down and died for us because he wanted to have a relationship with us. That was an awesome thing that he did. So we are, as men, supposed to lay down our life so we can have a better relationship with our wife. At the time, it may be something that's difficult. Like, this is my hobby. This is my guy time. Like, what are you doing? This is poker night. Like, all we do is we play for, like, popcorn kernels. We aren't gambling. But, like, this is what we do. This is my Tuesdays. But this next Tuesday, could you just spend time with me? Shame on you if you don't. She's asking something of you in a really nice way. Love is not, hold on to the list. Love is not just having sex. That's not love. Love is not playing with your iPhone when your wife's talking to you. Love is not spending time with your wife whenever it's convenient for you. Love is not having kids but never interacting with them. Love is not being a stay-at-home loser, eating Twinkies while your wife is providing for the family. Love is not making money and expecting, like, that's it. You're eating hot dogs, everything's good. That's not love. Love is not beating your wife when she doesn't do what you want her to do. If that's happening, women, run for your life. If you guys are doing that, come see me. If I find out, I'll see you. We're supposed to cherish women, not beat them. Is that what Christ does to us? No. Even when we disobey, even when we mess up, we don't live up to his standard. He still comes to us and says, I love you. When does he forgive? All the time. How does he see us? As perfect. Love is making a tampon run to Walmart. It's weird. It stinks. But it's love. I promise you, you won't do it unless you love her. Love is going shopping at Forever 21 and liking it. I'm like one of those dudes that, like, going shopping is kind of cool. I actually kind of like it. I'm not like Metro. That ain't it. That ain't, no. But I kind of like shopping. I think it's cool. Love is making sure you don't go to bed angry. the sun does not set on your anger, that you do everything in your power to make sure that you set everything straight, that you guys are at peace with each other before you go to bed. Love is going back to your bride 1,000 times to make up, even if she doesn't want to even see your face. Love is being patient when she doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Love is being compassionate. Love is confessing your sins to her. Love is making your wife your priority. Love is going out of your way to reconcile every issue. Love is holding your wife's hand as she finds out she just had a miscarriage. Love is protecting your wife, even if it means that you will die doing it. Love is praying with your wife, even when she's too mad to speak with you. You're a man. Suck it up. Pray with your wife. Love her. Love is praying for your wife when she's not around. If you're wondering the importance of love, you can, if you want, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure you guys have already heard this. But going through this, it may put a kind of a different perspective on it. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believe all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I don't care what you do for your wife. If it's not done in love, it doesn't matter. It's self-serving. I know right now you guys aren't married. You have no idea. Maybe even what I'm talking about. You'll find out. When you get married, you realize you are a selfish scumbag. When you have kids, you're like, I thought that I already knew that I was a selfish scumbag. You really understand who you are. You have to lay yourself down. Pick up your cross. And die in love. This isn't a rotten thing. Don't get me wrong. This isn't like, oh, these are a list of things I have to do. I'm going to get married. Honestly, if that's what you're thinking, don't get married. If you don't expect to lay down your life for your wife, live at home forever. Totally cool. But don't drag someone else into it. Leave them alone. Why? Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Why do it? Because you're doing it for yourself. When you spend time with your wife, when you lift your wife up, when you read scripture with your wife, when you have Bible studies with your wife, when you spend time in the Word with your wife, you're doing yourself good. Because you are one. And if you don't do these things, your life is going to be hell. I promise you. Because a marriage, if it's just two people trying to be one without God, you're hosed. It says so in a lot more words right here in Scripture. It's not easy. I'm a man. I understand that it's not easy to say, hey, we're going to have a Bible study. And women, sometimes it's not easy to accept that. Because somebody else has given you a Bible study and it's like, hey, I'm a woman, like I can read the Bible for myself. But honestly, like, you need to do it. Step up to the plate and say, we're going to have a Bible study. You will be blessed. I promise you. Verse 27, it says this, that he might present to her him, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. He's doing it for her benefit by cleansing her. That he might present to himself a glorious church. You guys, if you're dating right now, practice this. Don't say, hey, when I get married, that'll be cool. Like, practice it now. It's a good thing to set in practice. Because if you don't do it now, you won't do it when you get married. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. If you be honest, guys, you love yourself. You don't like yourself, you love it. Like, you really do. Even if you think you don't, think again. I know it's an old stereotype that, like, guys love cars. I don't know if it's still around or not. I, like, actually hate them because, like, they always break down. And it's like, I have to pay $600 for some dude to get his hands greasy when, like, the part costs $47. Totally not cool. I don't like cars. But anyways, some guys like cars more than they like their wives. Like Home Improvement, that whole scenario isn't exactly a farce. It is truth in some people's marriages. It may not be cars. It may be the internet. It may be playing ball with the boys. It may be even your own homework. Love your wife more than you love yourself. I'm pretty sure that Christ doesn't complain when he has to spend time with us. If you think about that picture, we're all wanting to spend time with Christ. But he is wanting nothing more than to spend time with us. So in that, what kind of picture do we get to see? Like, dude, our wives, future wives, want nothing more than to spend time with you. Real time. Not like I got home from work, how'd it go? Pretty good. They actually want to know everything about it. Why? I don't know. But they do. So, like, love them and tell them everything about it. Girls, you kind of have to be kind of a little bit understanding. It's difficult to talk about everything. Like, we don't even know what happened. And you want us to talk about it? Like, want to make stuff up? I'm not a liar. Like, I'll make something up. Like, it was good. Like, but really, go out of your way to share with your wife. Don't compare your wife to other women. Ever. I'm not speaking from experience there. Don't do it. Women are not trophies. Don't treat them as such. Providing for your family means providing for their every need. How did Christ lead? He led by serving. That's how Christ led. Now we come down to what God wants, and that's this. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. God said it's not good for man to be alone. I'm glad I'm not. I was miserable for quite a while, thought I got over it, and realized that I had a great desire to be married. Is it easy? No. Like, nothing in life's easy. Nothing that actually matters is easy. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely worth it. Yeah, do you get to see your own flaws? Yeah, that's a good thing. You need to see them. Should you be prepared for marriage, to understand what a marriage should look like? Yeah, you should. Should you be transparent with your future spouse before you get married? Absolutely. You don't want to spring it on them a year later. What? Why didn't you say that before? I didn't think you'd marry me. Like, well, then you probably should say it beforehand so she has a choice not to marry you. Be transparent. Love each other as Christ loved the church. Serve each other. Are you guys going to get married? 84% of you guys are going to get married. Like, this matters. Marriage is, I didn't even know what I was getting myself in for. Marriage is awesome. It has the potential to be the thing that changes your life for the good forever. Because Christ calls your spouse and you to be one. Guys have all kinds of flaws, all kinds of faults. Women have all kinds of flaws and all kinds of faults. But when you come together as one with Christ, you are one. You are whole. If you intend to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part, you choose a good thing. Now that you know exactly what you're choosing. Marriage is the deepest relationship you can have with any person on this planet. It is to be cherished. It is to be held sacred. It is worth fighting for. So, if you guys are thinking, I mean, you guys are in college, it's like, I'm going to get married after college, I'm going to get married in the middle of college. Like, this is kind of like the marriage season. It seems like everybody's getting married right now. A lot of people are getting married. And it's a really stinking cool thing. I look at people, I'm like, you're marrying him? Like, and you see them interact with each other, and it's like, that's cool. Like, I didn't think you guys would even get along ever. But, like, you guys, like, love each other, and that's, like, a totally rad thing. Super cool. When you guys are thinking about marriage, think about Ephesians. Maybe even go back through and read it. And prepare yourself for marriage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you, and we thank you for sending your Son down to die for us as a perfect picture of your love, as a perfect picture of who you are, as a perfect picture of how much you love us and how much you're willing to die for us. Because you wanted a relationship with us. Because to you, relationships are massively important. Lord, I pray for everybody in here, Lord, that you would point out that person in their life, that you would prepare them for that person in their life that they will marry, that they would be in preparation, that they would be praying for that person daily. And God, I thank you for the gift of marriage, for what a gift it is to be able to come together, two people that are complete polar opposites that work completely differently, to work in one accord, to live as one, to raise kids as one, to raise kids to glorify and to love you. Lord, I thank you for this night. And I pray that you would let everybody in here have awesome marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.